Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 48, Dread and Ghastliness. Dread. In ecstatic love for Krishna in dread, there are two causes of fear, either Krishna himself or some dreadful situation for Krishna. When a devotee feels oneself to be an offender at Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna himself becomes the object of dreadful ecstatic love. And when, out of ecstatic love, friends and well-wishers of Krishna apprehend some danger for Krishna, that situation becomes the object of their dread. When Riksharaj was in front of Krishna fighting and suddenly realized that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna addressed him, "My dear Jambavan, why is your face so dry? Please do not feel threatened by me, for there is no need for your heart to tremble like this. Please calm yourself down. I have no anger towards you. You may, however, become as angry as you like with me, just to expand your service in fighting with me and to increase my sporting attitude." So, in this dreadful situation, in ecstatic love for Krishna, Krishna himself is the object of dread. There is another instance of a dreadful situation with Krishna as the object as follows. After being sufficiently chastised by child Krishna in the Yamuna River, the Kaliya snake began to address Krishna. "O killer of the Mura demon, I have acquired many mystic powers by my austerity and penances, but before you I am nothing. I am most insignificant. Therefore, please be kind upon a poor soul like me, and don't be angry with me. I did not know your actual position, and so out of ignorance I have committed such horrible offenses. Now, please save me, for I am a most unfortunate, foolish creature. Please be merciful to me." This is another instance of the ecstasy of dread in devotional service. When the Keshi demon was causing disturbances in Vrindavana by assuming a large horse's body that was so big that Keshi could jump over the trees, Mother Yashoda told Nanda Maharaj, "Oh, my dear husband, our child Krishna is very restless, so we had better keep Krishna locked up within the house. I have been very worried about the recent disturbances caused by the Keshi demon, who has been assuming the form of a giant horse." When it was learned that the demon was entering Gokula in an angry mood, Mother Yashoda became so anxious to protect her child Krishna that Yashoda's face dried up and there were tears in her eyes. These are some of the signs of the ecstasy of dread in devotional service caused by seeing and hearing something that is dangerous to Krishna. After the Putana witch had been killed, some friends of Mother Yashoda inquired from her about the incident. Mother Yashoda at once requested her friends, Please stop. Oh, do not bring up that incident of Putana. I become distressed just by remembering this incident. That Putana witch came to devour my son, and she deceived me into letting her take child Krishna upon her lap. After that, Putana died and made a tumultuous sound with her gigantic body. In the ecstasy of devotional service and dread, the unconstitutional symptoms are drying up of the mouth, exuberance, glancing behind oneself, concealing oneself, bewilderment, searching after the endangered lovable object, and crying very loudly. Some other unconstitutional symptoms are illusion, forgetfulness, and expectation of danger. So, in all such circumstances, the ecstatic dread is the steady or constant factor. Such dread is caused either by offenses committed or by dreadful circumstances. Offenses may be committed in varieties of ways, and the dread is felt by the person who has committed the offense. And when dread is caused by a fearful object, this fearful object is generally a person who is fearsome in features, nature, and influence. An example of an object which caused ecstatic dread is the Putana witch. Dread may be caused by mischievous demoniac characters, such as King Kongsa, or it may be caused by great powerful demigods, such as Indra or Shankara. Demons like Kongsa feared Krishna, but their feelings cannot be described as ecstatic dread in devotional service. Ghastliness. It is understood from authoritative sources that an attachment for Krishna because of feelings of disgust sometimes presents a ghastly ecstasy in devotional service. The person experiencing such ecstatic love for Krishna is almost always in the neutral stage of devotional service, or Shanta Rasa. A description of ecstatic love caused by ghastliness is found in the following statement. This person was formerly interested solely in the matter of lust and sense gratification, and had perfected the greatest skill in exploiting women in order to fulfill his lusty desires. But now, how wonderful it is that this very same man is chanting the names of Krishna with tears in his eyes, and as soon as he sees the face of a woman, he immediately becomes disgusted. And from the indication of his face, I would think that now he hates sex life. In this mellow of devotional service in ghastliness, the sub-ecstatic symptoms are spitting upon the consideration of one's past life, contorting the face, covering the nose, and washing the hands. There is also trembling of the body, forcible twisting of the body, and perspiration. Other symptoms which may be present are shame, exhaustion, madness, illusion, frustration, humility, self-pity, restlessness, eagerness, and stunning of the body. When a devotee lamenting for past abominable activities shows special symptoms on his or her body, one's feeling is called ecstasy in devotional service in ghastliness. This is caused by the awakening of Krishna consciousness. In this connection, there is the following statement. How can a person take pleasure in the enjoyment of sex life in this body, which is only a bag of skin and bones, filled with blood and covered by skin and flesh, and which produces mucus and evil smells? This perception is possible only for one who is awakened to Krishna consciousness and who has become fully cognizant of the abominable nature of this material body. A fortunate child in the womb of his mother prayed to Krishna as follows. O enemy of Kamsa, I am suffering so much because of this material body. Now I am trapped within a mess of blood, urine, and liquid stool within the womb of my mother. And because I am living in such a condition, I am suffering great pangs. Therefore, O divine ocean of mercy, please be kind to me, for I have no ability to engage in your loving devotional service. But please save me. There is a similar statement by a person fallen into a hellish condition of life. He addressed the Supreme Lord. My dear Lord, Yamaraj has placed me into a situation which is full of filthy and obnoxious smells. There are so many insects and worms surrounded by the stools left by different kinds of diseased persons. And after seeing this horrible scene, my eyes have become sore, and I am becoming nearly blind. I therefore pray, O my Lord, O deliverer from the hellish conditions of life, I have fallen into this hell. But I shall try to remember your holy name always, and in this way I shall try to keep my body and soul together. This is another instance of ecstatic love for Krishna in an abominable situation. It is to be understood that any person who is constantly engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, has attained a transcendental affection for Krishna, and as such, in any condition of life, he or she remains satisfied simply by remembering the Lord's holy name in full affection and ecstatic love. And so, in conclusion, it may be stated that ecstatic love for Krishna in ghastliness appears during the development of dormant neutrality into developed affection. Thus ends chapter 48 of Nectar of Devotion, entitled Dread and Ghastliness. Recorded April 27, 2021 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the author, the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.